Welcome to the Diocese of Cleveland Innovation Series, where today I'm talking with Molly Vaughn, the founder and executive director of Motigo, an inspiring entrepreneurial organization that's got its roots in Catholic education here in Cleveland. Molly, welcome to our Innovation Series.
Thanks, Frank. Good to be here.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And will you please tell our audience about Motigo? What is it? And what do you do for students and schools?
Sure. So Motigo is a nonprofit organization, and we are teaching students confidence through building motorcycles. So we're essentially bringing back shop class, but in a way cooler way than the old days.
I know that's such a valuable and necessary space in today's schools, Catholic schools and other schools. There may be a number of programs that do that sort of hands-on learning, but what is it about Motigo? What do you do best, or what do you do differently compared to other hands-on learning programs that our schools have found so valuable?
I think Motigo is drastically blowing up the way we think about learning. And so one of the things we do best is give kids the safe space to fail. And that may sound crazy, but in a nutshell, I feel like we're teaching kids the permission or giving them this inspiration to feel that they can try something and not be worried about the outcome, but enjoy the learning experience along the way. And that is the piece that's giving kids confidence.
Thank you. Can you tell us a bit about the story, the history of Motigo? Like, how did you get this idea of motorcycles in school? Like, how did Motigo come to be?
It is kind of wild, isn't it? That I'd be sitting here, this educator, convincing people that if you bring motorcycles into your classroom, something good is going to happen. But ironically, the story of our motorcycle shop class starts in the Catholic school system. So my husband, Brian Shaffrin, co-founder, and I actually met working down the street from our garage here in the St. Clair Superior neighborhood at a Catholic high school. Many of you know St. Martin de Porres High School. And in lots of schools across the country, particularly independent schools, they have something called intensives, where schools will shut down for a week. There's no regular classes. And those students get to participate in whatever the teacher deems interesting and valuable that may lead to a mastery experience. So Brian Shaffrin convinced our founding president, Rich Clark, that there might be some value in this Wonder Week idea, where every single adult in the building for 1 week would not have to teach their regular subject. They could teach a hobby or whatever it was they thought was interesting. So it was pretty cool. You had cafeteria staff taking kids to go fishing. You had a math teacher who was teaching calligraphy. You had one of the nuns taught a class called Clowning Around and did a miming course teaching kids how to be clowns. It was kind of crazy. Really, the whole idea was insane. But God bless Rich Clark. He came up with some abundant, never-ending budget for things that seemed like it would bring value to kids' lives. And so Wonder Week commenced. And I was working in the corporate work study department at the time. And I decided I was going to teach kids a photography class. And so our kids were going to go around sort of like the school newspaper and take the pictures during Wonder Week of all these lessons happening. And my friend at the time, Mr. Shaffrin, was teaching, he was teaching geometry. He taught a lot of things. I don't know if you know this, but in Catholic schools, sometimes you wear a lot of hats. So at that moment, he was teaching geometry. And he decided, wouldn't it be cool if I bring in two of my vintage Honda motorcycles and I'm going to roll them into this weird garage that's attached on campus. And I'm going to have tools and hand the kids the tools, and we are going to take apart and rebuild these motorcycles in 5 days. And they got going. So he was assigned a group of kids, and they started taking apart this motorcycle. And to this day, I will never forget taking our photography class to this weird garage in the St. Clair Superior neighborhood. And there was Mr. Shaffrin, the math teacher, and on the floor were like six kids covered in filth and dirt and grease and grime. And there were a zillion parts everywhere. And if you didn't know any better, it looked like a disaster. But through the camera lens, there was something magical happening. I mean, there was just a spark in kids' eyes. And you realize that's where learning is happening. It's not always in these organized desks. And so, I mean, I hate to toot my own horn, but I knew something special was happening in that moment. Brian Shaffrin is sometimes a little later to the table. And so his class ended and he was licking his wounds because there were parts and pieces all over the garage. And he ended up literally sweeping them into a snow shovel and scooping them into his pickup truck and, you know, putting his tail between his legs, going home. That was a huge failure. But I think he wasn't expecting what was going to happen next. And that was the next day, you know, the next week in geometry class. Some of these kids who never raised their hand before and never went up to the board to try a problem out, all of a sudden were super engaged. And it was like some barrier had been broken where they were no longer afraid to persist through this challenge because there was no grade. They were told, take this apart. If they broke something, he's like, don't worry about it. That's the whole point. If you break it, we can fix it. And I think that changed their mentality about what they were afraid to do and what they weren't afraid to do. So Rich Clark created this incredible thing. And unfortunately, there were probably about 13 of us who after that were set on fire to change the world and could no longer be teachers in the regular classroom. So to this day, I believe I'm an educator, but I think I've always found the weird spaces to educate in. I mean, I went to school to be a gym teacher, but I've never taught one gym class. I just wanted to be able to be an educator who could move around while I taught. And so I left St. Martin and started a photography business. And my then friend, Brian Schaffran, left St. Martin to start a community motorcycle garage because he thought the idea of having a group of people together, getting their hands dirty, solving problems was awesome. So he, and gosh, 10 years ago now, he opened Skidmark Garage and he needed help doing the marketing because how do you tell people I'm going to have this community garage where people come in and work on motorcycles? It's not really a concept that anyone had heard of here. But I like weird concepts. So I told my friend, oh, well, you know, I've got a nice camera and a photography business. You could pay me and I could do some marketing for you. And well, that's kind of where it all started. And we fell in love in the process. And 3 years into Skidmark being successful as this staple in the community is a safe place for adults to work together. I think the two of us always knew we'd bring it back to kids. And so as much as we loved Skidmark Garage, that really wasn't the brand for the school system. I mean, this is a safe space where adults are getting a fresh start. So we may have adults in this community who spent time in prison or, you know, made choices in life that have presented them with the opportunity to start fresh. And that's great, but that's not necessarily the same space to bring the Girl Scout troop in to work side by side.
Yes.
We formed our own nonprofit, MotoGo, which is now 7 years old. And we basically took that concept from Wonder Week and brought it to schools. And that's how it all started.
And you've been working with a number of schools, especially Catholic schools, also some public schools, right? Yeah. Can you tell us about, like, what's a typical engagement look like? Are kids coming to you? Are you coming to kids? And how much time does it take apart a motorcycle? Are they doing it for a quarter, a semester, and how many kids and so on?
That's a great question. So I imagine as a principal is listening to this recording, they have an idea of how their school works and where something can fit in. And if they were in a room with 12 principals, those 12 principals would talk to each other and they would all have a very different need.
You got it.
So right before COVID, we actually were presented with the challenge of figuring out how to bring motorcycle building to kids who were on Zoom. And that kind of created what became three separate curriculum for us. You know, we couldn't bring a motorcycle outside in a parking lot and have four kids working around it. It was too dangerous at that time. So we actually pulled the engines out of our fleet of 50 motorcycles and loaded them in a pickup truck and actually tested this program out with Principal Jeff Sutliff's son, Quinn Sutliff, who took our program in their home garage in Lakewood, and it worked. And we're like, okay, this is great. We can now do a program that's just the engine, which takes about 24 to 30 hours versus the entire motorcycle build, which can take 48 hours and typically a full semester, where the engine you can kind of squeeze into a quarter of class time. But again, both those things were great for students and families and schools that had the resources and the space. But some of the schools we work with as a part of our equity model don't have a lot of funding and don't have the same resources that kids from affluent suburb communities might have. So that's when we added in this like smaller plastic V8 model engine that kids could actually work on a dining room table and be linked to Zoom and do over the camera. So since COVID, we now deliver that in person too, obviously, but so there's kind of three programs. There's this, it's now a 15-hour mini bike engine, a 24 to 36-hour engine build, or a whole semester-long motorcycle build program. And that can either be brought to schools on their campus, or some places do choose the option of coming to us. But we have found with tight school days, it's a lot easier for schools if we can temporarily set up a small shop class, you know, in a classroom or in like Magnificat uses the convent garage, whatever it is on your campus that we can use temporarily, it makes it a lot easier for kids in schools.
I can imagine for principals that reduces the transportation barrier and the lack of time too, loss of time going back and forth to the garage space.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and just to be clear, so you need that place. You need to be able to leave bike parts there overnight. You just need to have that place for the duration, whether it's a quarter, a semester, or whatever.
Exactly. And most people, most schools have been able to find the space where we've created these kind of like mobile shop class stations, and they're on rolling carts. And so those carts can be pushed into a hallway and stored for the night and pulled back out and put in an empty classroom during class period and pushed back into a corner. So we've tried to make it as accessible for people as possible, because we know the variety of needs is vast.
You've been exemplary as innovators, since our whole series is about innovation, that you're obviously learning through iterations. Every time you start a new school year, it's something improved, it's something different, it's something responding to the needs out there, which is just awesome for our school leaders, making this as accessible as possible. As you talk to school leaders, or as people find out about Motigo, do you find out, are there common barriers they encounter, or misconceptions, or things that we should be able to tackle with our audience here?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Cleveland, because I think this city has been so innovative itself that it seems like any principal we talk to gets it right away. And I don't know if that's because a lot of us are only one or two generations removed from a parent who grew up in the city taking shop class. And we know that shop class can lead you to a variety of options. So it doesn't mean that we're sending kids into trades in construction or manufacturing. It might be that they're going into engineering. It might be that they become a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer or a stay-at-home parent. For us, the outcome of where you end up is not the measurement stick of success. I think if we can reframe the narrative around, as cliche as it sounds, the journey you take is so much more important than what happens at the end. We are rewiring the brain so that you create a muscle memory around failure. I mean, if I go back in time, when Motigo started, it was just Brian and me. And so I, the phys ed major with no connection to motorcycles or mechanical engineering, had to learn how to take apart and rebuild a Honda CB350. What I wasn't expecting was, after a year of teaching this class, the confidence that I gained led me to tackle QuickBooks. And the fear I had on math and budgeting and growing a business, which maybe some people might think I had no business deciding that I could run this nonprofit. But honestly, building a motorcycle changed my own confidence. And all of a sudden, I learned in my late 30s that I was smart. And as crazy as that sounds, I think the most important thing Motigo is doing is giving kids with a lot of different learning abilities the realization to see, I am smart and I'm worthy and I am confident and there's so many things I can accomplish. I think, you know, I had a bit of a chip on my own shoulder because I have two older brothers who are very good at academics and are great at memorizing and are smart and went to very prestigious colleges. And I think I always felt like I didn't know that I could follow in those footsteps. And Motigo is the class I needed to take when I was 15 to see I could write a term paper or, you know, I could memorize what I needed to. If I had learned that then, I think it may have changed my trajectory for my own future.
Well, I can't imagine you having a different trajectory given the impact on our kids. Well, let me rephrase this. I hope whatever that altered trajectory would be would still end up in some way making a meaningful impact on the lives of kids. And in fact, throughout your career, you have been determined, I know, to be a voice for those who are marginalized, as something that you state even in terms of your leadership of Motigo. How does that zeal you have for the marginalized show up in the work with Motigo? And how does it have a touch point in our schools?
Absolutely. And actually, the Catholic schools have been the best at understanding our commitment to equity. I think, you know, I grew up in the Catholic schools. I went to St. Bernadette's and Magnificat. I graduated from John Carroll. I know nothing but the Catholic school world. It is my experience. And I think the best thing I learned in Catholic schools was to give back, and that what you're given in life, you owe it to share with others. You know, we don't need to hold everything we have on our plate. What you have, you share. And I think that MotoGo built that into our core values. So throughout our equity model, those schools who are able to afford the cost or the true cost of our programs, they pay it. And they're happy to pay it because whether they have the tuition to pay it or not, they have access to resources who can help supplement that for their students. But we know specifically from our career working in urban education that some of our schools in the city don't have that same access, but that shouldn't keep them from these important programs. And so schools in the outer ring suburbs who can pay closer to the true cost do, and that supplements the cost so that schools in the city can pay as well. And I think you see that particularly in our Catholic schools. We do serve schools like the partnership schools, Archbishop Like and Metro Catholic, and they receive scholarship pricing, which is important to be able to serve students in the city.
Thank you. So if a Catholic school leader wanted to explore bringing MotoGo to their school, what's their best first step after listening to this?
So they can visit our website, motogocleveland.com, and there's actually a tab that is called Programs. And if they click on that tab, there's an email that comes straight to our team. And so honestly, I think having a conversation is the best place to start because we like to sort of cater the needs to the school who is reaching out to us. A great example is the first school to really build us into the school day was Magnificat High School. And they have a credit-bearing course with us as an elective that's during the school day because they had the space to build that in. And so we're there, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week, depending on the schedule. And students are taking our class as an introduction to mechanical engineering. That works great for Magnificat because they had the space in the day to do that. But there's other schools, like this year St. Dominic's is joining the list for the first time. And the space they have is on Wednesdays as an after-school club. And so we're going to be at St. Dominic's from 2:30 to 4 on Wednesdays this school year. And they'll do a shorter program with our mini bike engine build. But it works for both of the needs that those schools have. And I think if you look at the docket of our schools, you'll find a variety of ways to include shop class, but probably the same request from all the principals. And that is they just want the space to give kids the chance to fail and learn that they have the confidence to master whatever it is they want to do in life.
That is such a valuable and important opportunity for kids. I know our educators they're familiar with the growth mindset and the research behind that, but there is also something about the physicalness of it, right? I mean, they're speaking of innovation. We've got a lot of people talking about AI and coding and what they need to do in their technological future, but how does MotoGo distinguish its growth from, say, that virtual online world?
Such a good question. Well, first of all, fun fact, if you try to type into ChatGPT, failure is the best teacher, or failure is a necessary step to mastery, ChatGPT will reword it to say, you persist through failure, you correct your mistakes, and then you master. And we're here to change that narrative and say failure actually is that necessary step. And quite literally on this innovation podcast, we believe that innovation only happens by messing it up. You can't learn what you need to innovate unless you know all the ways you can do it wrong. And so I think the best thing MotoGo does is that brain-hand connection of really thinking about what you can build sort of in the realm as an artist or an inventor or a maker. And that changes everything, really.
I would totally agree. And that matches my experience in education, seeing in fact, you made reference to the older brothers who I went to St. Bernadette's with, and I graduated.
They're smart guys. They're real smart.
It was amazing. I was allowed to hang out. I graduated in 1993 from high school, as did your brother David, who went to another all boys Catholic school in the Diocese of Cleveland. My favorite all boys Catholic school on the west side of Cleveland, St. Ignatius High School. I went to one in Lakewood. But at St. Edward at the time, we were a comprehensive high school. That was the last year. The guy who was the principal the next year, Jim Kubacki, would move the school toward a college prep direction and get rid of the shop class equipment, the lathes and the routers and all those things. And then Jim would go on with his career into different parts of the country and come back later as the president. And he was the president in the time that I was the principal immediately before coming here to the diocese. And we noted the ironic observation that we had over the 2 decades after that basically replaced all that equipment with the new engineering space and innovation space with the laser cutters and the 3D printers and just the modern versions of the shop class tools the kids were using in the 90s and before. They're just a little fancier technology. That making, that physical making, has a resonance to it that really the successes are your successes, the failures are your failures, and the design is so personal. It's not something that you strike a key and just do 1,000 iterations of. It is truly that physical learning is durable, is the word I'm looking for.
It's so true. And I think something we didn't realize until we hired a social worker was not only are you persisting through these failures, but a lot of our students, particularly in the city of Cleveland, have faced incredible trauma just by the hardship of their reality every day in their neighborhood. And by working with your hands, you can actually create new pathways, new like synapses for your response to trauma to respond. And so, for example, if you're somebody that every time you hear a loud noise, it's triggering to you because it reminds you of gunshots in your neighborhood and your outburst is to punch the wall. I'm making things up here. But we're learning that by working on the engine and talking through this trauma as you're doing it, that when that response comes up to a loud noise, you have more capability through this sort of meditation moment to be able to talk through what's happening and actually change your reactions so that you are literally creating new pathways in your brain, which I had no idea. Like, you feel it, but I didn't know the science behind it. So to have this social worker working with us, it's given us a new conversation piece when we talk to schools who have students who have faced significant trauma.
That is an incredible value add that makes so much sense from what you just described from the psychological perspective, right? Also, I'm sure resonates with a lot of the educators who are listening who, whether or not they know the science you just described, have experienced that same sort of thing. So you're working in a number of Catholic schools now. Which schools is Motigo in now?
So this year we were at Benedictine, Magnificat, St. Joe's, Gilmore, St. Martin de Porres High School, the Welsh Academy, Lake Catholic, Metro Catholic, Archbishop Like, St. Dominic's, and we hope to return to Beaumont and St. Francis.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's actually a great step for our principals who are interested to learn more. They can also talk to their peer principals, who I'm sure will have either knowledge or will direct them to the person at their school. They can talk about Motigo too.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Okay, good. Are there other things about Motigo you'd like our audience of school leaders and educators to understand?
I think something important to understand about Motigo is I feel that this is the future. And I also feel that Motigo exists because it's something greater than us that was always supposed to happen. As an Irish Catholic who grew up in a family listening to the clues of the universe and trying to live using the values that God gave me, I really feel like I was meant to start this program. And Brian and I are here kind of as the gatekeepers for the moment to start a conversation piece that's bigger than us. So I kind of like to joke, I have this board of directors that are quite literally here on earth, but then I sort of have this metaphorical board of directors of the mentors that I've been lucky to work for before me, including Rich Clark, but others in my life who are like the angels guiding the moves that happen with Motigo. And while I believe everybody needs shop class, and this is one cool way to do it, I like being a conversation starter to say to educators, what are you doing in your school to give kids safe places to fail? And whether that's your, close to 5.0 GPA students who are taking AP everything that need that safe space to fail before they launch to college, or you're a school that has students who are unable to memorize and don't believe that they're bright, either thing, this is one solution of a million. So I'm honored to be a part of this innovation series. And I encourage school principals to think about what are you doing to add value for your students in a future that's ever changing.
Thank you. And I know we're recording it in the balmy warm weather this summer, but it'll come out at the start of school. So Is there still room for schools who may want to participate in the 25-26 school year?
Yes, I assume when people are listening to this, we still have plenty of spots open, definitely for the spring, and particularly there may still be some open for the fall as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And again, they can go to the website, they can contact you, they can follow the links on the innovation page or contact me, anything to get in touch with Motigo. Thank you so much, Molly. Thank you for taking the time to share about Motigo, for sharing your passion for education and your background and your history with Catholic education and the bright future you have imagined for kids in Cleveland, including in Catholic schools. Thank you for sharing it with our innovation series.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and God bless.
Same. Up to you. Things change quickly.